All right, kids, you're dismissed. You know, these Sundays come quick. Just got to tell you, amazing how quickly they come. You ever feel that way? Yeah, it's life, isn't it? It's life. I'd like to start by saying I love the way the book of Proverbs marries human experience and observation with God's unfailing promises. For example, Proverbs 25:25 says, "Good news from a distant land is like cold water for a weary person." You hear something good and you've been waiting for it, it's like a refreshing beverage. Recently, I was in my own yard doing some yard work. That's what I'm supposed to be doing in the yard. When Beth was away, there was some long evenings, and Amanda was helping me sort of get things done, and then I'd come in to eat supper. And I'm telling you, food never tasted so good. You ever feel that way? This food is so good. I love that. I love the taste of good food. And I love the way that after you've worked or you've waited for something, and I feel like that's the way the proverb is, it's good news from a distant land. It's like cold water for a weary person. In other words, there's nothing quite as good as waiting for a word that is that someone is okay. They go away. Amanda often goes away. When Amanda goes away, we're like, just text us when you land. Phew, she landed. You get the point. Proverbs 13:12 also can come alive. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life." You keep waiting and waiting and waiting. It's like waiting for something and then it never happens. That's just discouraging. That's why people do get discouraged. Not everything that we hope for might even be a good thing, but after a while, if we're even hoping for something to happen and it doesn't happen, we can get discouraged. Anybody ever been there? That's a been there, done that, right? You know, so this idea of, you know, the Proverbs marries human observation, human wisdom, and it gives a nugget of often God's immense truth that's in the middle of all that. So you might want to read the Proverbs. You know, I'm sure these parents were anticipating hearing from their son. Their son's a Boy Scout, and I'm sure they were happy to get a letter. He's now at camp, and they are probably waiting. Back in the old days, before text and before phones, I mean, kids bring their phones to school. I know there's like rules that you're not supposed to be texting, so we live in the digital age, and most people, you know, they send word via a digital means, a text, an email. But back in the day, you used to write a letter to home. And this boy wrote a letter to his parents as he was at Boy Scout camp. And I'm sure they were awaiting something good. Anybody ever have your child at camp and they either send you a postcard or a letter? Anybody? Yes, a few of you, right? You remember those days. "Hey, they actually remembered us. We're his parents. We fed him for the last 12 years. And he wrote us a letter." And I'm sure, you know, this letter probably meant this much to this boy's parents. "Dear Mom and Dad, this is a letter from Scout Camp. We are having a great time here at Lake Typhoid. Our scoutmaster is making all of us write to our parents in case you saw the flood on TV and got worried. We're okay. Only one of our tents and two sleeping bags and Jake's backpack got washed away. Luckily, none of us drowned, because we were all up the mountain looking for Brad when it happened. Oh yeah, please call Brad's mom and tell her he's okay. He can't write because of the cast. I got to ride in one of the search and rescue jeeps. It was neat. We never would have found him if it hadn't been for all the lightning. Our scoutmaster got mad at Brad for going on a hike alone without telling anyone. Brad said he did tell him, but it was during the fire, so he probably didn't hear him. Did you know that if you pour gas on a fire, the gas will blow up? The wet wood still didn't burn, but one of the tents did, and also some of our clothes. John is going to look weird until his hair and eyebrows grow back. We will be home Saturday if our scoutmaster gets the bus fixed. It wasn't his fault about the wreck. The brakes worked okay when we left. Our Scoutmaster said that with a bus that old, you have to expect something to break down, and that's probably why he can't get insurance on it. We think it's a neat bus. He doesn't care if we get dirty. It gets pretty hot in the bus, but it's really neat because we can watch the engine work. Although it does smell like exhaust fumes, our Scoutmaster even lets us take turns riding on the luggage rack on the top too. Well, until the highway patrolman stopped and talked to him. Our Scoutmaster is a real neat Scoutmaster. Don't worry, he's a good driver. In fact, he's teaching Andrew how to drive. But he only lets him drive the bus on the mountain roads where there isn't any traffic. All we ever see up there are logging trucks. This morning, all of us were jumping off the rocks and swimming in the lake. Our Scoutmaster wouldn't let me because I can't swim, and Brad was afraid he would sink because of the cast. He let us take the canoe across the lake. It was great. You can still see some of the trees under the water from the flood. Our Scoutmaster isn't crabby like some other Scoutmasters. He didn't even get mad about life jackets we forgot. He has spent a lot of time working on the bus, so we're trying not to cause him any trouble. Guess what? We all learned some first aid. When Keith drove off the cliff into the lake and cut his arm, we got to see how a tourniquet works. Also, Aaron and I threw up. Our Scoutmaster said it was probably just food poisoning from the leftover tuna salad we just had the night before. He said they got sick that way when they ate food in prison. I'm so glad he got out and became our Scoutmaster. I have to go now. We're going to town and mail all these letters and buy some bullets. Don't worry about anything. Love your son. P.S. How long has it been since I had my tetanus shot? Whew. A letter from Scout Camp. Man, that would be memorable. Amanda has not quite written us anything that dramatic, although she's camping more, so maybe one of these days we'll get one of these survival letters. I have no idea where I am in my notes. All right. Unlike the above letter to home, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, heard from his like-minded partners of their real progress of the church at Ephesus, and he sets the pattern of keeping your spiritual eyesight fresh. This is really, really, really important. And we started to look at spiritual warfare last week. You might see, remember that graphic. I submit to you that we can know the Father's plan. That's what I'm going to talk about. The notes are on the back of the bulletin. Sort of a little step back before we head into this whole idea of putting on the full armor of God and the absolute essential that is for all of our lives. And if we're not doing that, we have the likelihood of becoming weakened in some area. So I'm hoping today that as a church body and believers who love the Lord, that we would increase our knowledge of the importance of our spiritual protection. And you see here, as the apostle writes, he's commenting on the church at Ephesus's progress. And he does. He sets a pattern to keep their eyesight fresh. And this is a prayer that we're going to read. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 21. And I'd like to read that. If you were to keep reading the rest of this book, you'll land right at the last section that we read last Sunday. So I do believe that there are some vital parts. There is a build-up here. This book is climactic. It is powerful. It teaches things that have never been taught in ages past. This is what the Apostle Paul describes as the revelation given to him about the church. And this is very important. We don't want to ignore these instructions. His prayer here is significant for our understanding. He says, "Therefore, I also..." And he's talking about, now he's got word. Remember, we pointed out last week, can you imagine the apostle under house arrest near a Roman soldier? He's noticing his armor. You saw on the opening video of the service that God has given us everything in spiritual armor. And I believe Paul knows exactly where he's going in this letter. I know exactly, because the Holy Spirit directs the apostle what he needs to communicate on behalf of the entire church, not just this small group of believers, but all future believers. He says, therefore, I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Amen. Three things, they're going to be up on the screen. Three things. Sometimes they give you four. I'm actually giving all the dads in the back or our churches is a travel mug or a ceramic mug. So consider those extra gifts today. So dads, make sure before you leave here, grab a travel mug or a ceramic mug is our gift to you. But these three, let's look at them. These are the things I think God would want us to know. These are, as part of the Father's plan, there are things for us to know. There is, it's for us to grow. You can know things, but are you growing in those things? And there's a big difference between just knowing and growing. I believe growing is work. The apostle says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? So what does that mean? You go around panicked your whole life and scared to death? No. You have a right view of God. You have a right view of the future judgment seat of Christ. You know you're going to appear there as a believer, and you will give an account for your life, how you lived it in Jesus. And there's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. There's going to be stuff going to be burned, and there's going to be stuff that will last. And so I believe that that's the value of growing, is so that we have a, so there really isn't a big bonfire there. Oh man, that's a bonfire. This is too much junk from my life that didn't get dealt with. For to us to know, for us to grow, and for him to show. God has things he wants to show us. But it's up to us, because he's revealed it to us, to understand it, that we would get in on it. Who likes getting in on the action? I like action, okay? I like action. I like to see where the action is. Remember my former boss at Songtime, John DeBrine. Many of you knew John over the years as a radio listener. Many of you attended Youth Time events up in Greater Boston at Tremont Temple. Anyway, John was a legend in New England for broadcasting, and I got to serve as his radio producer. Probably cut my teeth in radio broadcasting with John DeBrine. Learned things there, and it was, you know, it was every day producing a one-hour broadcast, producing a half-an-hour broadcast. And so my radio experience has continued. But part of that is being under good teaching and taking advantage of some of that those opportunities. One of the things that John would talk about is the power of a new affection. I mean, do you ever like, you've been driving this car for a long time, and you didn't care less if coffee spilled anymore. You know what I mean? It's like, floor mat's filthy. And then as soon as you get that new car, it's like, don't spill anything! You got dust in your dashboard's filthy, you know. But it only goes about a few months. But it's amazing how the power of a new affection can captivate us. It can be a new toy, it can be a new home, be a new baby, right? All these types of things, they redirect us. They redirect our attention. I mean, it's just amazing, this time of the year where, you know, a few months ago, most of us who could care less about yard work because nothing was growing. Now, if you don't get out there, it overtakes you. And it sort of changes your affection. It's like after that thing gets mowed, it's, huh, that looks pretty good, right? See, some of us still have push mowers. But so the power of a new affection changes everything. And a person really knows, if you are to, see, God wants you to know what you can know. If you and I are spiritually ignorant, that's on us. I hate to say it that way, but it's really quite true. If we remain spiritual infants and babies, it's on us, because we've got the Word of God, and we are supposed to utilize this Word to grow up in respect to our salvation. We're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, died for us, poured his blood out for us. And he is a person who wants to know us. And he wants us to understand things. This is a living relationship. This isn't just hit the panic button every time my life messes up. I have an active appreciation. Somebody shared with me last week that they got home. They were just sitting outside and basking in the goodness of God. I couldn't stop praising God. Couldn't stop praising him for what he's done in my life and the changes and the opportunities that he's given to me. You know, Helen Keller said, it's a terrible thing to see and have no vision. Take it from a blind person. And so I think what we see here is that there's a prayer by the apostle here that we would see things before we understand the nature of spiritual warfare and battle. God wants us to get a glimpse of him and then do everything necessary to remain fully protected emotionally. So many people go off the rails emotionally. They don't handle life well. Life just starts to get a little bit accelerated. That train starts going down the track with a little bit more speed. And if that thing can't stop, it's going to crash. You've heard the term, it's a train wreck. And we don't want train wrecks in our lives. There's no need for there to be train wrecks as a Christian. I know they still happen. I know they can happen. I've had train wrecks, just saying. Been down the track and think I'm on doing really good, and all of a sudden it's like I get whacked. And the scripture's very important that even whatever measure of success that you and I have in our life, you give God the praise and the glory. Because it didn't come from you, it came from him anyway. Yes, he gave you the resources to do it, but ultimately our joy, our appreciation should go back to him. And so I look at this prayer that the apostle prays on this Father's Day. And he says here, therefore, in verse 15, maybe that can go back up on the screen. Therefore, I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. It's amazing that relationships are where the Christian life gets worked out. It's like, oh, those Christians, you know, yeah, get with them. Start being with them. I thought of you, Dennis Clough, yesterday as we were, it's a good thought. It's probably wondering, where's Dave Preston? All right, I'm going to go with it. We loved Bob Haley. But Bob was, at the last part of his life, he was a single man. And yet, you can see how a good woman sharpens off your rough edges, right? I see that with my own wife. And she's just a great help to me. She's a helpmate. But I know with Bob, being a single guy and living as a bachelor, and, you know, he had needs. And so, as you think about people that were willing to come alongside of him, like Dennis, and spent a long time. I loved Dennis's story. He'd say, you know, Bob, I'd pick up Bob from men's Bible study. One thing I told about Bob yesterday, Bob wanted to be there. Bob was a guy who wanted to be there. Remember the Easter Sunday morning, we're getting ready for the brunch, and Bob falls down in the parking lot. By the way, Friday night, when I'm with Chaplain Mike at the Maritime, and I'm looking over at all these firefighters and chiefs, I'm like, I recognize those guys. Huh. Those are the men that came in the building when Bob Haley fell. So, hey, Bob, do you want to go to the hospital? No, I want to stay in church. So Bob wanted to be with us. So I appreciate the long suffering that sometimes it is within the body of Christ. There are times that things will come up in the life of a church that have to be addressed. There may not be an ill motive or an ill intent, but if that thing doesn't get addressed, it's a mess. And that's sometimes where train wrecks happen in a life of a church, because relationships get out of whack and people start gossiping and there's backbiting and all that other junk that winds up becoming a poison. And Paul points that out right here. He says, therefore, I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Well, we know that not every saint there is mature, because Paul deals with that. So just because you're a believer doesn't mean that you're mature. but the general theme of Christian love, the real stuff, the stuff that really, really, as the scripture says, that love covers a multitude of sins. That's exactly what has to happen in the life of any church that's going to grow and thrive and move into in future territory. Because guess what? Satan would hate for us to move forward in every way. Doesn't care if we show up in this building and do life Monday through Friday with no impact on the community. But the moment that a group of believers becomes a cohesive unit and works together, watch out. That's why on Wednesday nights we pray, because we are weak. And I don't care how big the vision is that I might have for this church without the Lord. The scriptures, unless the Lord builds the house, the labor's labor in vain. So I'm going to continue to avail myself to every resource. That's what we talked about last Sunday. You know, these are things for our spiritual protection. So Paul is giving thanks for them for their, because he's heard of their love for all the saints. Wow, this is such a compliment to a church. I hear about the love you all have at Grace Lighthouse Fellowship one for another. I can tell you this. I get some really encouraging text messages from people in this church who've been blessed by this church and the generosity of this church. And people say things like, wow, I've never seen anything like this. This has never happened to me. So that's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of a church that's growing and thriving. And he says, I don't cease to give thanks for you. I try to make a conscious decision to thank God for you. Before the Lord, I thank God for you. I thank God for what he's doing in you. Do not cease to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers, not just Wednesday night, but saying, God, thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these people. Thank you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Oh, the Bible says that we've only seen Jesus limitedly. He veiled himself in his full deity, what he really was. He shows himself a couple times, the Mountain of Transfiguration, where Peter's like, is it good for us to be here? Should we build some shelters? Because this glory is enormous. They are brought up onto the Mount of Transfiguration. And so this is the future glory. This is our God of all glory. This is the God who makes the heavens and the earth and every single thing that you look up at that night sky. This is just a fraction of who God is. You think about every day you walk, and it's like, okay, if I fall and go boom, okay, because God has put laws within the universe that cause you to fall and go boom if you don't stay up on your feet, right? Because he's put laws. He's allowed vehicles to stay on the roadways, even if they travel 100 miles an hour and crash. But anyway, all that to say, there's certain laws in this universe that are at work because God is a God of order, and he's made those laws to function. And so he's so much more. He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who sent his own Son to earth. Jesus voluntarily leaves heaven. And he comes. And the scripture says that he may give you the spirit of wisdom. I like what one of the commentaries says, is that this is much like the fruit of the Spirit. The byproduct of the Holy Spirit has to be this type of wisdom. This isn't just only a spirit of wisdom. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's just the spirit of wisdom. Look at all the fruit of the Spirit. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's patience. It's kindness. It's, you know what? If you and I are honest, we take a look at the fruit of the Spirit and you're like, that's not me. That's not me like I want it to be me. And Christians often get discouraged. Like, I don't see a lot of fruit in my life, because the necessity that you and I have as believers is to avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit's help. I believe that the moment a person places faith in Christ, the Spirit of God sealed that person and came in. Now, the key is that you and I need to be empowered by his Spirit. And that comes as we increase in the knowledge of God's Word so that we can be more effective. And Paul would say, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. In other words, God wants you to know more about Jesus. He wants you to know more. He wants you to know this wonderful plan. This is just a speck. It's like, you guys, we could be here one day and gone the next. It's clear, okay? It happens every day. People here gone one day and gone the next, okay? Until that time, we should be pursuing exactly what it's said here. And this is Paul's prayer. He's not forcing this. He's praying. Think about what prayer does. Prayer leaves room for what God can do. Somebody said to me this week, he's like, I can't deal with that. It's just too much. That's a matter of prayer. I'm like, that's really good. I can't change this and shouldn't try, but God can. God can. So, but in our growth, in our understanding with God, we want to avail ourselves to the things that he wants us. Jesus is praying for our success. He ever lives to make intercession for us. The risen Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that one, the one who is coming again, the one who has all things under his power and dominion. So, but there are things in the meantime that we want to make sure that we are. Our mind is well occupied with all that God wants us to get. So these are things that God wants us to know. And then he wants us to grow. Because look what happens next. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. See, you can have understanding, but you can have more understanding. This is what it means to really go beyond. I love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. As one of my favorite verses, it's going to be in that Gospel of John that you'll be giving out. But guess what? There's more to the Christian life than John 3:16. Do you get that? I understand that's what it takes for people to understand salvation, but there's a lot more for us to get in on. Paul calls it the things of the Lord. And so there are things that God would want us to get. I think we want to strive to bring people from infancy to maturity. That should be the goal of any strong local Bible-believing church, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. It's like, have you ever realized something like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I still had this. Like you find some box, it's like, I have like $600 in silver dollars. Should I cash them in? He's like, you know, you go through something that you didn't realize or you forgot, and you start to reveal that. And I think that some of this is what we, sometimes the Christian, and I think the satanic strategy, remember Satan is the arch enemy of God, fell from heaven, wanted to be like God, wanted to be in that glory. And God says, no, I will share my glory with no one. So even those he created, he's not going to share his glory because he's God. And we should be good with that. But God is a great giver. And he is a father with a plan. And John 3:16 is part of that plan. But you're in my maturity and knowledge of what's coming in the days to come, not just here on planet Earth, but our future is awaiting us. And God has a future stewardship for every believer who will be with him in heaven. In other words, future responsibility. Like, be like, I'm going to be on a harp or be on a cloud and play a harp in heaven. Like, that's boring, right? See, that's how we get sold this stuff, and we get no interest in spiritual things because we caught some image of some little child playing on a harp, you know, in heaven. It's like, come on. God's really about action, worship, the good things, and you being a part of that. And that's why Jesus blazed the trail so that every person who comes into this world doesn't have to leave an unforgiven sinner. They can leave a forgiven sinner. Because that's why Paul would address these people as saints. People like, oh, the saints are just like the good people, the really good Christians. Like, that's bad teaching. We pick up on that. Certain churches venerate saints. Like, okay, they have saint status. Well, perhaps they did some good things. I'm not going to take that away from them. But Paul is calling every believer a saint. And guess what saint means? It means set apart. You've been set apart by God. The moment you trusted Christ, you've been set apart for purposes that are way outside of you that God wants to now mobilize. So that's when you see the warnings in Scripture about moral behavior and conduct and all that stuff. It's like, basically, that's not befitting for somebody who has perfect righteousness. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? If God directs and teaches us something, not what to do, it's like, you know, I've heard people say, well, Christian life, it's like, you know, you Christians, you guys just don't have any fun. I'm like, do you know how much fun I have? I mean, I'm a pastor with a hot dog cart. What else do you want? I'm just teasing now. We didn't bring it out yesterday, but it will be out for August 4th. But I mean, I'm serious. Ministry to me is so much fun. It's people. It's doing life with people. It's enjoying the people that God has given to me. What being with my brother Mike Mangum Friday night, and I'm telling you, in the heart of that man is a warrior. And I just appreciate that he sees an obstacle and says, how do we get through it? I'm like, you know what? I want to follow that guy. I like people who want to get through obstacles, through the Spirit's help, that is. But this is great. This is where we want to be. And I say for the vision of our church, we want to let God lead us. We want to let the Lord lead us in ways that we could say, only God could have done that. Only God could have moved on that heart, soften that situation, move us into that location, do something differently so that we could reach more people. I never want to overlook the people that God's given me. To me, it's like, you know what? I mean, I think that's what's part of the problem today is that, you know, we got to reach the world. I mean, you know what? You got to build the people you got. You got to build the people you got. If you don't build the people you got, I don't care who comes into your building. If you're not building the people you got, you're not going to build the people that you don't even have yet. So let's build the people that we got. And that's what this is all about. Because that's why Paul would say, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. In other words, do you realize what he's done in you? Do you realize what he's already done in you when he saved you, when he rescued you, what he did in Jesus? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? There's a great wealth of riches that belong to the believer. I mean, just think of the giftings that God gives. And Scripture is clear about that. I mean, this is certainly grace. I am all for it. I love grace. I love the doctrine of grace. I love the fact that I'm forgiven. I can't change that. God did that. I am enjoying that every day. But I also want to know other riches. I want to know the riches of wisdom in the Word of God. I want to be able to look into the Word of God and see something that I didn't see before, and it just awakens my mind and says, oh my goodness, that belongs to me too? Awesome. Awesome. And it talks about here in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Do you realize that believers can stop believing? Paul would instruct the Hebrews in that respect. He says, see to it that none of you has a sinful and an unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, lest any one of you be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Don't be fooled. Sin still hardens the believer's heart. But as we keep believing and we keep looking to God, we keep enjoying these riches of his grace and these resources, the vista opens up even wider. And that's more ministry to more people. It's being able to maybe feed more people at Thanksgiving or whatever we do, whatever this church does. It's more than that. It's the capacity to love one another. It's the capacity. Yesterday, when my wife and I visited one of her favorite stores called Dorothy Swap Shop at the Bourne Dump, we also did a nursing home visit over at Bourne Manor. And a woman from our previous church reached out to me and said, Dave, would you visit with my dad? It was awesome. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, we're going to the dump. I know we're trying to look at least pretty good. But we're going to the dump, and we're going to stop into Bourne Manor, and we're going to go in there and see Jim McCurry. And as we got in there, and it was like God planted Jim McCurry right off the elevator. I haven't seen Jim in years. And Monica just said, Dave, I don't know where my dad is spiritually, but I just want him to know. Would you visit with him? I'm like, yeah, I'll visit with him. And there we go. All of us. Aaron just loves to light up the nursing home with a concert. You know Aaron. He sings To God Be the Glory, and all the nurses start clapping. Just being with Beth and being beside her, and we were just kind of surrounding Jim's wheelchair, and I'm not sure how much he understood, but we got to pray with them. I'm right there, right in front of the desk. It was awesome. I'm like, you know what? This is good stuff. This is people. This is Jimmy. I don't know how many. Monica, she said, I can't meet you over there. I'm in Connecticut, but you should have saw her reply. You know, like those emojis that have like multiple tears and all that and hearts and love. And I mean, I think they're still flowing into my wife's phone. But so this is what we're after. We're after being an encouragement so that people who are maybe in moments where they're weak need to be kind of lift the hands of those who are weak. And so I would want that for all of us in this church. And what is the exceeding... See, the cool thing about that is I didn't have to like... It was like God put that on my heart because she asked us a couple weeks ago if you'd visit with my dad. I'm like, you know what? We're right here. Why don't we just go do this? Is it convenient? Well, yeah, we could say it's inconvenient. And I got the voice of the Holy Spirit coming through my wife and she's like, do it. You know, amazing how your wife is the voice of the Holy Spirit oftentimes, you know, she tells you what to do. And I'm like, you know what? There's a good reward here. But the benefit of something like that. And so instead of us looking at opportunity as how inconvenient this is for me, how inconvenient, I can't do it, I don't have time to do it, you're missing a blessing. I really believe that we're missing opportunities at times that are that we don't know. And I believe, this is what I believe, it's those moments that because you responded in simple, I will, and I'm not going to be griping or complaining about this, I'm just going to go do it. I believe that's the stuff that Jesus is going to reward. I truly believe that. Can I be 100% certain? I'm just pretty confident, okay? So all that to say, because the idea is that as we understand this exceeding greatness of his power toward us believe, according to the working of his mighty power, okay, the mighty power at work in the believer is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible actually teaches us that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Okay, I want that power. I want to know that power. I want to be under the control of that power. How about you? All right. And see, I think what happens here is that this is a future thing in some ways, and this is a heavenly thing that perhaps some of the stuff we don't really see fully. Because there are things that God wants to demonstrate. Do you know that it is going to be an awesome event when you and I are with Jesus and he's going to show us when the scripture talks that we were predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So the moment a person places faith in Christ, they are predestined to be conformed to that image. That is part of God's doing. Now you can get on heaven's door and be like, ah, I came here kicking and screaming. I didn't cooperate like I should have. But the idea is that there's a future glorification of the believer. The Bible says that when we see him, we will be like him. This scripture says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in what is to come. This is, God's going to reveal things. He's revealing them now. I believe there are things that if you could only see what happened since the time you've placed faith in Christ and you could see the righteous person that God sees, you would just rejoice. Like, God doesn't see my sin. He doesn't see my sin. He only sees Jesus Christ. But it's my job to get under the control of the Spirit so I can have victory, present victory over sin. That it's not just dominating my life. And that's why when we get to the series on spiritual warfare, it's like if I don't do what I can do to appropriate full weapons, I'm not going to have the type of success that God would want me to have. The goal isn't just to get to heaven. That's the other thing that I think a lot of believers settle for. I'm just going to get to heaven. You'd just be way more excited than that. I'm glad you're going to heaven. It's way more than that. If your life is just about, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. The idea is that, what am I doing with the life that God saved now, that he's using? Is it being used for his glory? Because he wants to show what he did in you. That's awesome. I'm going to close with this verse. Perfect for Father's Day. See what great love the Father. This is 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. You might want to write that down. 1 John 3, 1 to 3. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. In other words, if you feel that little resistance at times, like you're excited about spiritual things and God, specifically Jesus who died for you, and you like, talk about that wherever you might be, or you look for opportunities to bring that up, and people like look at you like you got two heads, because they may not belong to God, or they forgot that they do belong to God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. In other words, Christ comes into this world. How long-suffering is God? He comes to a world that is Christ rejecting. He knows that ahead of time. And the Bible says he's the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. So God is so long-suffering. So you think like you've exhausted his patience. You know, just keep telling him, God, I need your mercy once again in my life. I want to keep growing. He says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. This is the time that we're going to see Jesus, and that could happen even today. For we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. In other words, we take measures in our life to live a life that reflects that I know I belong to him. I don't want that in my life. I'm done with that. Lord, help me be done with that. Those are the prayers you should be praying. Lord, help me be done with that. I don't want that. And that's why we shouldn't be blown off course every time something comes back into our life and we say, huh, where did that come from? Well, that came from a part of you that Jesus Christ already died for and paid for in full on that cross. We just need to know how to see that for what it is and not living under that control anymore. What a great Father's Day. What a great plan the Father has for us. And my prayer is that you and I would get in on the plan and we would model this grace to the people around us so that they get in on the plan. Sound good? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for just the way that you are working in my life and helping me to see things that are sometimes hard to see. Thank you for your great mercy and your great love, and I thank you on this Father's Day for the men in this room and the dads that are here, Lord. I just thank you for them, and thank you that, Lord, there may be regrets and there may be things that wish the shoulda, the coulda, the would-haves, but Lord, we don't have the past. We only have the present. So help us to live this day with knowledge that, hey, if God is for me, who could be against me? Lord, we love you, and we desperately need more of you in our lives, that our understanding would be increased, that our eyes would be able to see the things that you want us to see, and that we would be the fully protected people with the armor of God that you've given to us. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody here this morning that needs prayer, just Pastor Dave, I want this. I want to grow. I want to know. And I want God to show me more. Anybody here this morning that just says, I'm just going to simply raise my hand and say, I need prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, just speak to hearts in this room. Father, if anybody in this room has never placed personal faith as they've come to Christ for the first time, to say, I do believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. I do believe he spilt his blood out for me on that cross. I do accept the fact that he did that for me, and I receive that as a gift into my life this morning. Anybody here this morning, does that describe you in any way? I'd like to pray for you. Father, I do pray for any soul here in this room that hasn't fully settled that one, because you can't grow, you can't do any of what we've talked about this morning apart from being in Christ. So may the people here this morning take the first step that they might need, Lord. For people here this morning that are just saying, you know what, Lord, I need more of this improvement of your real revelation in my life, this real knowledge that comes that from growing in my wonderful position of righteousness in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful time together today on this Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.